Acts, the 22nd chapter, beginning to read in the first verse. This is the first portion. Paul actually gave his testimony several times in the New Testament. We're not going to read it all. I want to read just some particular portions of it that really ministered to me as I was reading it this week. In the 22nd chapter, Paul has just been arrested in Jerusalem, and he is standing before the Jews that are clamoring for his life. And he begins to testify in the first verse. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense which I make now unto you. When they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And now I want you to notice these next couple of verses. And I persecuted this way unto the death. Now he's talking here about Christians. He said, I persecuted those who have followed Jesus or followed this way, even including pushing them to their death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. I was no respecter of persons, and the fact that they were women did not daunt me from the task that I believed I had. And male and female alike, if they professed this man Jesus as the Christ, I bound them and I hauled them off and delivered them into prison. Verse 5, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom I received also letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. I was really aggressive about it. I was really zealous. And then down in the 19th and the 20th verses of this same chapter, Paul is testifying to his experience with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And as a portion of that conversation, he repeats his response to the Lord thusly, and I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. I stood by and not only watched his death, I participated in it. The only reason I didn't throw any stones was that my hands were busy holding his clothes. Otherwise, I would have been right there on the front line slinging those rocks at him, killing him. Lord, you know that in my background there is murder and every other heinous crime. How could you come to me? How could you care about me? And how could you give me a work to do for you? I can't conceive that you should even consider such a thing. In the intervening chapters now, after this 22nd chapter, Paul testifies before Felix, and then he testifies before Festus, two men who had come at different times in this experience in Paul's life and were the governors over Judea. They were the men who had followed behind Pilate. And then in the 26th chapter, if you'll turn to that place where your finger there is in the 26th chapter, beginning to read it, the first verse, Paul giving his testimony once again before King Agrippa. And he speaks thusly. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Thank you for this opportunity to testify, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Now, the next few verses I want you to pay special attention to. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. My lifestyle was to do everything I could against Jesus. I made a decision to live contrary to His way. My thought pattern was to find anything that was possible to destroy that work. I did it. Here are some examples. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. Paul said, I brought them to a place where I forced them to deny their faith in Jesus. I compelled them to blaspheme the name of the Son of God. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Now, something, just a little aside there as we're sharing down through here. Those words, exceedingly mad against them, strike me as significant. Those who are lost frequently find themselves exceedingly mad at those who are saved. Those who do not yet know the Lord are extremely agitated and angry about the things of the kingdom of God, about righteousness. And when you speak the name of Jesus, it just angers and sometimes even infuriates them. Paul said, I was such a man. I was extremely, exceedingly mad against them. And because of that, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. I wasn't satisfied to destroy the Christians in Jerusalem, but he said, in verse 12, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, I went into every city that I knew there were some Christians. I would do anything I could to destroy the work of this man, Jesus of Nazareth. I withheld no zeal to wreak havoc in the church. I did everything I could that was opposing the cause of Christ. My life was set in direct opposition to the message of the gospel that Jesus was, in fact, the Christ or the Messiah. I was zealous over it, King. And then he begins to testify what happened to him on the road to Damascus. At midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. I guess one of the most dramatic salvation experiences recorded in all of God's Word is this one that we've just read about. When we see how the Lord took this man, Saul, a Pharisee, eager to destroy the work of Jesus, and because of the grace of God and the mercy of God upon that man, he came down and intervened in his life on his way to Damascus, held none of those things against him that he had already done, saved him, brought him into the kingdom, made him a witness unto himself, and gave him a ministry to take this same message to others. Jesus said, I've called you to go and speak forth about me, to open up the eyes of the people, to turn them from their darkness to light. The same thing I've done for you. All of these years, Paul said, I had walked in darkness, and then all of a sudden, one day, on the road to Damascus, I was still in my darkness, and Jesus burst upon my life with a light that was brighter than the sun, brighter than any light I had ever seen. And Jesus said to him, Paul, now that's what I want you to do for others. I want you to take forth this message, and I want you to turn the people from their darkness to the light. I want you to turn them from the power of Satan to the power of God. And that's exactly what happened to Paul. He was all of those years. He thought he was serving God, but he was under the power of Satan. And it took the intervention of Jesus Christ in his life to break that power and to turn him from the power of the devil to the power of God. And then he said, I want you to preach this gospel so that people who are presently in darkness, presently under the power of the devil, and let me say this to you, beloved, if you are not under the power of God, you are under the power of Satan. If you're not walking in the light, you're walking in the dark. If your eyes have not been opened, then they're closed. Now, if you're lost, you see, you need to know that. That's the first step in being saved. You have to first recognize that you're lost. If you don't think you're lost, there's not much hope for your salvation. You must recognize that you're lost. And if you're not under God's power, then you're under the devil's power. There's no in-between. There's no fence here. There's no gray area in between. It's either black or it's white. It's either the power of the devil or it's the power of God. Jesus said, Paul, I've called you and I've commissioned you and I'm going to send you forth. I want you to get the people out from under the devil's power and I want you to get them under mine. I want you to preach forgiveness of sins. And I want you to share with the people that not only can they have their sins forgiven as you have, they may also have an inheritance among all the rest of the people who have been separated by the faith which is in me. Paul said, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. I did what Jesus called me to do. Now I want you to turn to the third opening that I gave you a moment ago, 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. This is one of the most beautiful portions of all of Scripture. As Paul is giving his very personal testimony in an extremely personal and intimate way to his son in the faith, Timothy. He's writing Timothy by letter. Timothy is at Ephesus. He's looking after the church that Paul had started in Ephesus. And Paul writes him beginning, beginning tonight here in the 12th verse. I'm going to read it slowly because I want it to sink in to your spirit. I believe God wants to say to anyone who's in this congregation tonight who is presently under the power of Satan and has not yet been saved, has not yet been born again, and perhaps there's somebody in this congregation tonight that would say, I've been too bad. There are too many things in my life. It would be impossible for the Lord to ever forgive me. There are too many things in my background. Pastor, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how many years I've lived in sin. You don't know how long it has been since I've had a right thought. You don't know how wicked my life has been. You don't know the people that I've hurt. You don't know the destruction that I have caused. You don't know the things that I've done. It would be impossible for God to forgive me. That is the devil's lie. It is not impossible for God to forgive you. As a matter of fact, he wants to forgive you. Listen to Paul. Listen to this man. This man who wrote over half of the New Testament did a great work for God. Verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. Have you been a blasphemer? Have you used the Lord's name in vain? Are you one of these that God damns everything and Jesus Christ everything and just throws his name around like it was something other than that which it is, the name of God Almighty? Are you one whose language is filled with profanity and blasphemy? Are you one that when the going gets tough, that you would deny the fact that you even knew him? Are you one that is under such condemnation because of blasphemy that you believe that God could never love you or forgive you? So was Paul, a blasphemer and a persecutor. Have you treated your wife, your husband, your kids, your parents, your neighbors? Have you mocked them? Have you scorned them? Have you laughed at them? The fellow that's at your work that loves the Lord and it's praise the Lord this and praise the Lord that and hallelujah this and thank you Jesus that and around the corner you snicker and you laugh and you talk about him. You mock him openly and publicly and you're under conviction for that and you just don't believe that Jesus could ever forgive you for feeling that way and doing those things. Paul was a persecutor. And he said about himself, injurious. Have you injured others? Have you hurt others? Have you hurt those who were part of your own family? Have you disappointed or perhaps even physically abused? Are you one who beat your wife? Are you one that's injurious to your children? Paul said, but I, O blasphemer, persecutor, murderer, injurious, I obtained mercy. Say that with me. I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy. Hallelujah. There wasn't anything that I could do that was so great that God would not be to me merciful. There's nothing in your background that would prevent you from receiving the mercy of God. There isn't anything that you have done or could have done in type or quantity that could prevent the love of Jesus from coming into your heart if you will simply ask for it, if you will simply accept it. The love of God is bigger than your sin. The mercy of God is greater than your transgression. There's nothing in your background, nor could there be, that would prevent the love of God from coming to you if your heart is open to the Lord. Some of you, as I look out over this congregation, I marvel at the mercy of God. I wouldn't have to look out on the congregation. I just look right here on the platform and marvel at the mercy of God. But I know you, many of you, and I know what you've been through, and I know some of the things that are in your background and some of the things that are in your life, and it gives me the confidence to preach this word to you tonight, to preach this gospel to you tonight, because not only do we have the testimony of a man off the pages of this book, but sitting before me are testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony in living flesh that you also obtained mercy. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I obtained mercy, even though my sins were heinous. They're dirty. They're ugly. I can't even believe some of the things that I used to do. I can't believe some of the things that I used to think. I can't believe what my life was like. But I obtained mercy, Paul said, because I didn't know. I did it ignorantly, he said, not knowing, in unbelief. I didn't believe that this man Jesus was really the Son of God. I was ignorant. It had not been revealed to me that he was in fact the Savior. And what I did not knowing, I didn't believe. But God was merciful to me. Verse 14 says, and the grace of our Lord. Do you know what grace is? Favor that we do not deserve. The unmerited favor of God. I'll tell you, if God gave us what we needed or what we deserved and what we had earned, we all would be dead right now. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is... Anybody here has never sinned? You see, if we had gotten our just deserts, we all would be already dead, long time ago dead. Jeremiah wrote in the Lamentations, it's because of the grace of God and the compassion of God that we have not yet been consumed. Paul said, I obtained mercy because I did these things not knowing. In my unbelief, I did them. But the favor of our Lord was, notice these words, not just adequate, but exceeding abundant. More than enough. That's what that means. More than enough. I don't care what you've done, beloved. The Bible that I preach, the gospel that is contained in this wonderful book says that the grace of God is exceedingly abundant above all of those things that you have done, and it is able not only to cover them, but to wash them away and make it like they never had happened as far as God. You mean he could forgive murder? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And then this very familiar saying of Paul. This is a faithful saying. The word faithful means dependable, trustworthy. This is a trustworthy declaration, and it is worthy of all acceptation. It is worth your accepting this, Paul said. It's worth your receiving it, that Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, came into the world to do what? To save sinners. His purpose in coming was to save the lost, of whom, Paul said, I am chief. If you want to determine the extent and the magnitude of sin, you would put me number one on the list. I am the worst of all time. But God has been merciful to me by the faith and the love that is in Jesus Christ. He has poured his grace out upon me. He forgave me. And between he and I, none of these things in the past even exist. I remember them, but he doesn't. I know I did them, and it causes me to love him deeply, deeply, deeply. But he never holds those things against me. As far as he's concerned, they're gone. I've obtained the grace and the mercy of God. I am the chief of all sinners. But God has done a wonderful work in my life, and he saved me. Now watch the 16th verse very carefully. Watch this. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy. Now, Paul said, this is one of the reasons why God's mercy was manifest on me. That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, or patience, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul said, one of the primary reasons why I particularly obtained this mercy is that Jesus wanted to establish a pattern. He wanted a pattern for all time of how great his love is, how wide and how high and how deep and how expansive his love is. He wanted there to be a pattern that was recorded forever and ever of how far he would go to forgive and make new. Paul said, I obtained this mercy that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show his forgiving love, his mercy, and his grace, so that all of those that come after me would recognize that if they would simply believe on his name, they could also obtain the same forgiveness. They might also obtain the same grace. They might have also the same mercy. They might get just as saved. They might get just as filled with the Holy Ghost. They might get just as close a relationship with him, that they can have everything I have. I am not one of a kind, Paul said. My testimony is I am only one of many. One of many. Now, I believe what Jesus wants to say to us tonight is basically this and simply this. His mercy is greater than your sin. His forgiveness is bigger than your wickedness. His grace is bigger than your transgression. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing it. It doesn't matter who knows and who doesn't know. The only thing that matters is this. If you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and invite him to come into your heart and be your Savior, he will wipe it away and he'll make you new. He will give you the same sweet, powerful relationship with him that this man Paul had, that this brother and this sister testified of tonight, that this brother and this sister testified, and I'll add my own testimony. Anybody else wants to testify, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so if you really want to be washed clean, if you really want to start new, don't you let the devil tell you that it's too late for you. Don't you let the devil say to you that what's in your life Jesus cannot take care of. I don't care what it is. There is nothing stronger than the name of Jesus. My Bible says that God hath highly exalted him and hath given him a name that's above every other name, that in heaven, earth, and beneath the earth, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And that includes what's ever in your life. If you want to believe on Jesus, you simply make a decision to do so. And tonight, the power of the devil in your life can be broken. That quick, and that surely, and that permanently. Paul's a pattern. God loves you. Say this with me. God loves me. God loves me. Say that again. God loves me. Say this. God really loves me. God really loves me. Say that again. God really loves me. Close your eyes and say that with me. God really loves me. Keep your eyes closed, if you will, please. I don't believe that God would have me to preach this message tonight primarily for believers, although it's a wonderful joy for us to remember the grace and the mercy of God that we've obtained. But I believe that there are one or more persons in this congregation tonight who do not know Jesus as their personal Savior. They're lost. You've never made a commitment to Christ. You're living your life your own way. The devil has told you over a long period of time that you've got the name, and so you might as well play the game. Since you're a sinner, you've sat in church after church after church, and you've heard how everybody's a sinner, and you've decided, yeah, that's me, that describes me, and as long as I'm a sinner, I'm just going to keep doing it because God would never forgive what I've done. Perhaps nobody else in the world knows what you did except you. Perhaps it's just thoughts. Perhaps it's things that you would do if you had the opportunity to do them, and you know those thoughts are wrong and meditating on them are wrong, and you just don't believe that God could ever love you. Well, the Spirit of God is speaking tonight through me to tell you He already does love you. This Bible says that while you were still in your sin, Jesus Christ died for you. He didn't die for you because you were good. He died for you because you were bad. He died for you because that was the only way that you could be helped. He died for you because that was the only way that you could obtain forgiveness, by exercising faith in what Jesus did. When He hung on that cross, when His blood came streaming down, that blood was for you. It was for you, friend. It was not for Himself. He'd never sinned. He'd never done anything worthy of death. Pilate even said that. I find no fault in this man. It was for you. It was for you. It was for you. Believe that. He loves you. He really does. And He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to open your eyes. He wants to take you from darkness to light, and He wants to deliver you from the power of the devil and deliver you into the power of God. He wants to take you from a dark kingdom into a bright and glorious one. And that can happen for you tonight. It can happen right now. It can happen right now, this very moment, and God wants it to happen to you with all of His heart. You say, Pastor, what must I do? You must do as Paul said he did. He said, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. When Jesus came to me and spoke to me, I did what He told me to do. And he went everywhere and he began to preach, repent. Turn away from those things and come to the Lord. And give Him the right to rule your life. If you're here tonight, and this message is for you. You know that God's Spirit is speaking to you, and you want to be forgiven, and you want to believe on Jesus. You want to be born again. You want to have a new life. You felt all this time that it couldn't happen because you've been too bad. But you still want it. I want you just to lift your hand. Every eye is closed. This is between you and the Lord. It's something personal now, between you and Him. This could be the most important day in your life if you've never been saved. It is. If you'll simply say, Jesus, I want you to wash me clean. I want to be new. Make me new, Lord. Would you stand, please? Sing with me what they're playing. Hallelujah. Thank you.